You know, and I and Dr. Ajmal, when he joined us a year ago, we were talking about gastric bypass surgery. Now, this is, should I use the word drastic, or is that no longer the appropriate term when it comes to gastric bypass surgery and weight loss? Is it too much?
I think drastic is probably not the right word for this. For most people who have tried to lose weight with diet and exercise, and sometimes even with anti-obesity medications, this is usually their last approach, but it is a medically approved and very well managed approach. So it is not a drastic approach. It is a very, in the spectrum of management of obesity, it does come under the last method, but
right.
Absolutely not drastic.
All right. So I want to tell you, I'm trying to keep this short so I don't go on and on. But, you know, I started gaining weight and I kept gaining weight. You know, I'm getting older and that's one of the middle age spread or whatever the case. And it kept on. And, you know, and even though I tried some minor things. So I decided it would have been January 19th of 2015, I believe it was. And I started not eating. I drove myself very hard, and I lost about 70 pounds at one point. 65, 68, I think, if I'm being honest here with you. And then I lost the weight, and I thought, oh, great, now I've just got to kind of keep it off. Well, it started coming back on, so I pushed myself even harder, not eating for one thing. I literally was one meal a day. That's it. At 5:30 in the afternoon, I didn't eat any other solid food. I gave up soda. You see my bottle of water.
Yep.
I gave up coffee with cream and sugar and all the flu things, you know, and cream and all that and caramel. I still have a chocolate habit that's pretty bad. Mm-hmm. I love my chocolate. And I found out I'm still gaining weight.
Yep.
What is that? I mean, I'm using cigarettes, and I know Doc can give me the evil eye on that. I'll look the other way while you give me the evil eye. As a surrogate for food consumption,
yep.
I'm cigarette smoking, but I'm literally driving myself, hitting the treadmill every day,
mm-hmm.
one solid meal a day, and still 2 or 3 pounds every week get packed on, and I don't know where it's coming from.
Well, you're not the only one who has had this issue. Almost all the people that I see in consultation have had these fluctuations in weight, where they try to modify their diet and do a lot of exercise, they're able to lose weight. But usually they're able to lose about 10-15% of their excess weight. And then same thing happens if they're not really careful with their diet, or they're not able to do the exercise, or even they're doing all of that, they plateau off. They plateau off.
Even though they're trying really hard.
They're doing everything that they were doing before with diet and exercise, and their body starts to regulate. The thermostat of the body tries to get back to the same weight they were before. And the key thing to remember in this is that diet and exercise are still key. They are still the most important things. Even when somebody comes to me for bariatric surgery, diet and exercise are the most important things. We modify their diet. We encourage them to do physical exercise. What bariatric surgery adds as a tool to weight loss is modifying how much they can eat. It restricts their ability to eat, but also modifies their metabolism. So it down-regulates their thermostat.
Now, that's interesting because, see, I always looked at this as a bulk issue.
Yep.
X number of calories, X number of carbohydrates, right, that you have this bulk in the system. It goes into the large intestine, the standard absorption system.
Yep.
And here's, this comes back into it, you know, because this was all academic until I tried to get into it. And I realized there's a lot of people that I was like, oh, man, come on, just stop eating, right? Push yourself away from the table. You've heard this. Just
yes.
Push it away.
Yes.
You're hungry.
Absolutely.
And that's where you come in. You're really hungry. I mean, I do this and people go, is that your stomach? Yeah, it is. Don't you think you ought to eat?
Mm-hmm.
But you've been thinking it for hours.
Yep.
I'm starving. I can't wait till 5:30.
Yep.
And that hunger, that desire to get, you know, I mean, I literally, on Tuesday, I was looking at a Twinkie and wrapping it with Havarta cheese and smoked turkey.
Yep.
It looked good at that point. I was so hungry.
Yep. Well, you know, one of the things that we try to tell patients to, or people who come to us, is to avoid the starvation process. You do need to eat. You cannot survive without eating. So one meal is usually not the best way. What you do need to do is eat at regular intervals. So do not snack, but eat at regular intervals. That's why there are three meals in a day: breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And we want you to eat that. What we want you to do is portion control. Eat small meals. If you do not eat all day, then when you eat at dinner time, it is hard to control that portion.
Oh, ain't that the truth?
And when you eat, you need your calories. So you end up eating some food that has quite a bit of more calories than what you would eat if you eat at regular intervals.
Right.
When we modify somebody's diet, we recommend them to eat more proteins in their diet. Proteins are selections of food with meat, eggs. We encourage them to add some dairy products. We encourage them to minimize the amount of carbohydrates they eat. Add more vegetables and fruits in their diet. We also, somebody who's trying to lose weight, we recommend them that they could substitute one of their meals with a protein shake. Protein shakes are almost a complete meal with quite a bit of proteins and only small amounts of carbohydrates.
But, you know, there's one I listen to because I'm a protein treat, one for breakfast shake in the morning and then one for lunch, protein shake.
Mm-hmm.
Read the label on that. I actually had one. It's called Odwalla. I really like this product.
Uh-huh.
Like the way it tastes. No reason why. When I go down and I look, 44 grams of sugar.
That's too much. So we recommend something less than 10 grams of sugar.
Really?
Yep. And good. There's quite a few out there that you can use.
Now, the reason why we kind of went through this way is because this is the process that people go through before they come and see you about gastric surgery.
That's correct.
Yeah, they've tried. They've tried hard.
Absolutely.
You know, maybe it's your appearance. Maybe you'd like to have a meaningful sexual relationship again and you feel that you can, or you don't like yourself so much that you won't do it. There are a lot of psychological ramifications here.
Absolutely.
Simple as I have a hard time getting in a car. You have a hard time walking upstairs. My ankles and feet swell because they are carrying this too much weight. My knees are going out. My back hurts. You and I could probably keep going, couldn't we?
I have heard it all. People who say that they have had issues since childhood, since they were in primary school.
Right.
It is, people say, I like to go hunting, but I can't because I walk a little bit, I get short of breath. People say I live on the second floor and it's hard for me to climb the stairs.
Right.
Hard for me to shovel snow. You know, all those things come into play. In addition to that, most of the people have tried diet. They have tried exercise. Some of them have even tried medications. It's just a fluctuating curve for them. They lose weight, they gain it back.
All right, this gastric bypass surgery, used to, I mean, I literally thought about this as going in and cutting away a portion of the stomach and making a smaller pouch, for lack of a better word, containment area. But now there's more than one kind of bariatric surgery.
Yes.
You've got sleeves. I mean, how many different kinds of surgery do you perform? Dr. Saad Ajmal is joining us this morning. How many different kinds of procedures do you perform?
So most bariatric surgeons now, not only in U.S. but all over the world, are performing two major types of bariatric surgeries.
Right.
Number one is the sleeve gastrectomy.
Explain that to me.
So sleeve gastrectomy has been around for about 20 years. It's a procedure in which we remove 80% of the stomach and leave about 20% of the stomach behind. And we leave it in the shape of a tube. Mainly, what that procedure does is two major things. Number one, it restricts the amount of food that you can eat, so there is restriction. Number two, it removes this portion of the stomach that is known to produce ghrelin, and ghrelin is the hunger hormone. So it decreases your hunger as well.
That's specific to an area in the digestive tract?
It's mostly coming from the stomach.
No kidding.
So there's quite a bit of area of the stomach that's removed.
Boy, the signaling process is really close to its sourcing there, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's kind of interesting.
Absolutely. And so those are the two methods to which sleeve gastrectomy helps people lose weight.
All right. Now, this sleeve, do you cut down on the number of potential side effects with sleeves over one over another?
Well, both of them have their own place.
Do they?
So when somebody comes to us, the other procedure is the gastric bypass. And the gastric bypass has been around for much longer. It's been around for about 60 to 70 years now. And it's been time tested. The gastric bypass and the sleeve gastrectomy, we we choose that procedure based on the patient's symptoms, patient's signs, what other medical problems they have. After a detailed discussion of how we do that procedure, then we explain it to them, and then we choose which procedure. Each one has its potential advantages to each patient.
Is there a difference between men and women in their effectiveness?
Either procedure could be effective for either men or women.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have spoke to a number of people who have gone through this, including a friend of mine that went through one of the earlier stages, and she owned a restaurant, of all things, right?
Yep.
And, you know, great cook.
Yes.
And but she went, she felt she this was her only way out. Now, and it worked for her. Now, I've met others who their desire to eat so overwhelmed them that they would walk out of a restaurant and regurgitate in the parking lot. Right? And you and I both know that's not good because the esophagus, the acid's there, and of course, you know, you shouldn't be consuming that much in the first place.
Absolutely.
But that desire to eat is so profound there. I mean, it's a survival instinct, man, and once it survival instinct genes kick in, they can be it just this one gets out of the corral, we'll call it.
Yes.
I mean, when it comes to this counseling and the psychological, you can't just go in and say, I'm going to put you up on the table, we're going to do this surgery, and you're going to lose weight, and it's going to be fine.
That is
not how this works.
That is such a good point that you brought up, and that is why bariatric surgery should always be done in a specialized program. Because when you go to a program where they do bariatric surgery, they have dietitians, they have psychiatrists or psychologists, they have nurses who are trained in bariatric surgery, they have coordinators. Everybody knows this surgery is only one element to the treatment of obesity. It encompasses a lot of other things that we need to educate our patients about. We need to manage those things. When somebody comes to me for initial consultation, I explain a lot of things to them, including modification of their diet, increasing physical activity, but also seeing the dietitian so that they could know exactly what foods are good for them and what foods are not. A lot of people don't know the type of food that's going to have more calories in them, and they think it is healthy for them, but they're consuming foods with a lot of calories. I send them to a psychologist who makes sure that they don't have stress eating, emotional eating, or any other factors. And then they go through the program, and only then, when they have met all the requirements, do they qualify for bariatric surgery. That's the only way we've been able to achieve successful outcomes.
Right, and I'll bet you somewhere right now somebody's thinking, oh, gastric bypass surgery, well, you just tell me that I've reached a BMI of this number, and then I get it. You know, there's, it's, like I said, that'd be an oversimplification,
Absolutely.
But it still is one of the, one part of the equation.
Absolutely.
And what about age? Age in people in gastric bypass surgery, especially if you say, well, you know, I couldn't, this wasn't an option for me, but now I have better insurance. I've put up with this. I'm fed up with looking this way. I want to live the best. I've actually had somebody, swear to God, doc, I don't want to look like a fat slob in my casket. Point blank told me that. He's a guy friend of mine in Missouri. He hopped on the bicycle.
Yes.
And he lost 150 pounds.
Yes.
That psychological element, for whatever that triggered, he said, it's really about him is how he looks. He doesn't want to look this way when he goes out.
That's true. For bariatric surgery, age is just a number, too. So we assess when we see somebody whether bariatric surgery will help improve their quality of life, will add years to the end of their life.
Yes.
And if it can, and they can tolerate an operation, it why not? It may help them.
What's your success ratio?
So as far as bariatric surgery is concerned universally, 80 to 85% of the patients will be able to lose weight and keep it off in the long run. It's a 10 to 15% of the people who would who are not compliant with the diet or the exercise after surgery where they will have difficulty in losing that weight.
Well, there's a lot of issues there, time-starved or whatever the case.
Yeah.
But isn't there come to a point when you have come to the point where you will pull the trigger on this, that you are so invested in it that you follow through on a level? And I think that's where that 85% comes from.
Absolutely.
I've gone this far. I'm not giving up. And now I've done the hard thing. Now I've just got to clean up the loose ends.
Absolutely. A lot of patients come to us. They have thought about this at least, about surgery at least, for 1.5 to 2 years on average.
They have to come through the funnel at their own speed, don't
they? When they come to the program, they go through a process over a few months to get this surgery. So they are invested. They are motivated. I have seen some very motivated patients. I have seen a very good weight loss on those patients after bariatric surgery as well.
I wonder, and I was talking about this the other day about selling products, and we were talking about chocolate and some other things, and they said, well, I sell chocolate. I'm going, no, not really. You don't sell chocolate. You sell happiness. Isn't that the end result here? A better quality of life, a simpler, more joy. I mean,
When patients are able to lose weight and they come back and see me after a year and they say that my joint pains are better, that I do not need to take these blood pressure medications or diabetes medication. I'm able to fly in the airplane and able to sit comfortably. I'm able to do stuff that I wasn't able to do as a child. Those things make me happy. Those things make my patients happy. And that's the best part of the job.
Yeah. And I would think there is. I get this on a level before. So I come from a thin family. We'll call everybody's thin. And then I started packing that weight on. Beer, by the way. Drop the beer. That helped a lot.
Yeah.
alcohol, a lot of empty calories there.
Correct.
But still, I have my surrogates now, you know, cigarettes. Sorry to admit it, but it's true, and I'm not the only one. We have surrogates for food, and then now, currently, you know, I'm afraid that if I get off my starvation diet, which is what I'm in right now, I'll be honest with you, I'm starving myself on a regular basis every day. Sometimes I'll go a couple of days, don't eat at all. And when I get food, I fall on it like a pack of dogs, right? Just what you said, you cannot control your portions. I found that during one of my more successful weight loss periods, I ordered, you know, food over the internet, pre-prepared meals,
yes,
pre-proportioned. I didn't see mashed potatoes in that stuff. I saw a lot healthier, and I lost weight as a result. Those items for me worked. That's portion control, somebody else cooking it, and there's not a second helping in there on the stove.
That's correct.
We all have to have our own things, don't we?
Absolutely. Yep. Portion control, trying to minimize excess calories, trying to get the sodas out of your diet,
trying to get
the sugars and sweets out of your diet, and then trying to do some physical exercise. You know, whether weather is not good outside, try to find something indoors to do. And I emphasize on my patients to, a lot of people say walking. Walking is good exercise. It's a good start. But I would like my patients or anyone to do a little bit more than walking. While you're sitting, you can do some physical exercise while you're sitting, some stretching, some lifting, anything over the course of about 30 to 40 minutes that makes you sweat, that gets your heart racing a little bit.
Right. I'm a big fan of walking because I can listen to music at the same time.
That's true.
And have a little happiness while I'm doing it. Isolate myself, put on headphones, get away from it all, and then I'm not thinking about walking anymore, which is really kind of boring as hell. Might as well go ahead and say it. Walking is boring, all right?
Well,
it's always good to see you, Doc.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dr. Saad Ajmal joining us, bariatric surgeon, SIH, and the Weight Loss Center there. And if you're trying to lose weight, best of luck. It is a battle, isn't it?